Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, I want to read a couple of verses tonight from the New Testament, which are very well-known verses to us and very familiar verses. You know, what we find in particularly the writings of the Apostle Paul is that in order to describe our walk or our life, the Christian faith, and how we conduct ourselves, Paul used two real analogies. One, he likened it to the military, and he talks about the soldier in battle. And another one he likens our Christian life to is competitive athletics. He talks about running a race and being an athlete. And it's that theme tonight I want us to just spend some time looking at. You know, when Paul was writing, he wrote about the military, he wrote about the games. They were very familiar things to those he was writing to, particularly the Romans. The Romans were a force to be reckoned with. You know, they had military might, and they knew what it was to enjoy the games as well. And you see all around the sort of the Roman Empire, they had these great amphitheatres where games were hosted. A lot of them were, Christians were the butt of the games, you know, there's trying to put to death, you know, they had the gladiators and all those. But these were things that they were familiar with. So we're going to read two verses found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And it's the first two verses. And we're looking tonight at, not so much at the games, but at the race, the Christian race. And in Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says this: "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, just those two verses. There it tells us that we are to run our race with endurance. Well, actually, the last line of that verse says, run the race that is set before us. You know, each one of us has a race to run. And that's what that verse says. You know, this race is set before us. And before I go on anymore, I just want you to listen to a couple of, two or three different translations of this verse, what they say. In the Amplified version, it says this. It talks about running the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Another translation, the Barclay translation, says, talks about the course that's mapped out for us. The New International Version says, the race marked out for us. One of the basic English New Testament writes, the way which is marked out for us. Ken Taylor, in his Living Bible, he writes the particular race that God has set for us. Another translation, the Goodspeed translation, says, the race for which we are entered. And the good old J.B. Phillips, which is being preached from on a by someone not too many miles away from me. In J.B. Phillips, it says, it's the race that we have to run. You know, each one of us has this race. There's a particular race marked out for each one of us. Now, you can't run my race, and I can't run your race. You know, God has charted the course of this race for each and every one of us. And only you, or only I, we can run our own race. And we've got to run it. You know, it's an appointed race. Those various translations, one says it's the race marked out for us. And you know, if you look at a track, the track is marked out. And each athlete They don't always, but you know, they should stick to their lane. They run their race along on their track. You know, it's, you can't, they can't run somebody else's race, and nobody else can run their race. You know, there's a particular race that each one of us has to run. Now, if we knew the different races that we had to run ahead of time, we'd pick different people to run the race. You might say, well, they're not so strong at that, running that their race, so we'll pick somebody who's better at it to do it. And we can get ourselves into a bit of a mess doing that, because it was a prophet Samuel, wasn't it? You know, he looked at Eliab in the Bible and said, oh, surely this is the one that God set for the king. But God says, no, he says, I've not chosen him. He says, you're looking as man looks, and you're looking at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You know, God looks inside us, and he knows the race that we're to run. You know, God didn't choose you for your race based upon your abilities. He didn't choose it based upon your intellect or anything else that you can do in the natural. He doesn't look at your talents and say, well, he calls you to run the race that he's appointed and set for you. This race, it says here, is set before us. It's already appointed for us to run. Now, I've just said that God hasn't set this race to do with our abilities, our intellect, our talents. In actual fact, you might be surprised to know that the race that you've been called to run is completely impossible for you to run on your own. You can't do it on your own. And that's why we're running, that's why verse 2 goes on, and it's a continuation of the same thought, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our race. It's looking unto Jesus. That's what we can't do on our own. We can't do it in our own strength or our own ability. We've got to be looking at Jesus. And this race is a faith race. It takes faith to run our race. This isn't strange, because actual fact, this is what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the race of faith. And that's what I just want to take the next two or three Tuesday nights, however God leads me, just to look at the race of faith. How do I know it's a race of faith? Well, because Hebrews 11 catalogues a list of men and women. And we read it in verse 1 of our chapter. It says here, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us therefore lay aside every weight and the sin, and let us run our race. That word therefore at the beginning of the chapter, you don't start a new paragraph or a new chapter with the word therefore, because therefore always ties it to the previous thought or the previous what's been going on previously. If I came up to you and said therefore, you say, you know, what are you going on about? You know, it's therefore always connects it to what's gone before. Somebody once said this, and it's a good thing to think of. So when you see the word therefore, look to see what it's there for. When you see the word therefore, look to see what it's there, because it ties it to what's been said previously. So where Paul's writing, talking about running our race, but he's tied it to chapter 11, the thoughts and what's been going on in chapter, and he's talking about in chapter 11, the men and women of faith. He calls them witnesses, a great cloud of witnesses. And in chapter 11 we see that he's cataloguing there what they achieved by faith. He says, by faith, Abel offered to God. By faith, Enoch was taken away. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. Then he says, by faith, Rahab. By faith, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. And he lists what they achieved through faith. It's a faith race. And these great cloud of witnesses, or this innumerable number, company of witnesses, are these patriarchs that are listed here. And it doesn't just include them. Our loved ones that have gone before are part of that great cloud of witnesses. My mum's one of those great, those witnesses that are, she's not mentioned in the scriptures, but she's one of the clouds. She's run her race. She's finished her course. And she's now one of the witnesses that are surrounding us that are running. You know, you've got loved ones that have gone before. You know, they're part of this innumerable number of witnesses. They've run their race. They've completed their course. They've fulfilled their ministry. You know, they've come to the finishing line, as it were, at the race. But it says here in the scriptures, it says that these, having obtained, this is verse 39 of chapter 11, these having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Now, all these people listed, they've got a good testimony through faith. And that's what the writer here to the Hebrews is saying. He's saying, look, he says, look at Moses' testimony, look at Abraham's testimony, Isaac's, Jacob's, Joseph's, look at David, Samuel, Samson, Gideon, look at them all. He says, this is what they've achieved. Then we can say, well, look at those that have gone before us, and are those that we've loved. You know, look at their testimony, look at what they stood for, look at what they believed. You know what they're doing there? This, it's really picturing an athletics track in these two verses. So he's talking about running a race. He's talking about the race that's set, the track that's marked out that we've got to follow and we've got to run. And around the edge of this track is the grandstands. And in these grandstands are all these witnesses that have gone before. It's not happens in the grandstands. You know, they're cheering us on in the grandstands. You know what they're cheering? Because you know what they cheer on at these types of races? They're cheering things like, you know, come on, you can do it. Run a little bit faster, a little bit harder, just a little bit longer. You can make it. That's what they're cheering. If you watch athletics, or you know, they're cheering for their team. You know, come on, come on, come on, you can do it. You know, you're closing in on the one in front, and they're shouting. Whether they can hear what's being said or not, it's immaterial. You know, the runners, they hear the buzz in the ground, and they know that cheering's big, and that spurs them on to run faster, to run harder, not to quit, not to give up. You know, that's what these witnesses are doing today. You know, they're looking on us running our race, and they're cheering us on, saying, come on, you can do it. You can run, you can win. You know, and there's an interesting verse, interesting line mentioned in this verse, in verse 40. It says, the last line says, it says, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Now as we go through this teaching on the race, what you'll find is that what's being spoken of is not a short sprint. It's a marathon. You know, the race of faith is not something that you get involved with for just a few days or a few weeks. This is a lifetime's race. This is a marathon race. You know, you can't quit and drop out, otherwise you don't win the race. But what's also the implication here in these scriptures is that this is, yes, it's a marathon race, but it's like a relay race. Now, in the relay race, you have more than one person running in the team. And the first person, it's normally something like four people running a relay race. And the first person runs their lap. They do their course. Then they take the baton and they pass it on to the second runner. Then he runs his race. And when he does his lap, he passes the baton on to the next one. And he runs his race, and then he passes the baton on to what is normally the fourth and the last runner. And that runner runs the race. Now, if runner one did the lap in record time, and runner two run it in record time, and runner three run it in record time, they're now looking good for winning this track event, this tournament, if you like. If number four drops out of the race, the whole team lose. You can't say, well, he run good, so we give him a medal, and that one run good, so we give him a medal, and he ran, so we give it, but this one didn't, so we won't. The whole team lose if number four drops out the race. So it doesn't matter how well one, two, and three run, if number four messes up, the whole team loses. And that's really what the implication is here. You know, Moses ran his race. Abraham ran his race. Noah's done his race. David, all these ones that are listed here. Our loved ones, they've run their race. They've gone. They've completed their course. And now they're looking at us, cheering us on, because they know that when we win our race, they're going to receive the prize as well. That's what it says here. You know, they've not received their prize because they're waiting for us to run our race. And now, somebody once put it like this, that Abraham needs you and me to win our race so that he gets his prize. And that faith prize. You know, we've got to run. We're all in it together. We're all part of the same team. What do they call it in the athletics? Team GB. But for the sake of us, we'll call it Team JC, shall we? Jesus Christ. Or Team Faith. We're all running the race together. You know, we need one another. Now, we need, or they need us to run and complete our race. But it's not so much, and you'll see this, it's not so much how we start. You know, number one could have a really good start and get round quick. It's not so much how well we start. It's how well we run and how well we finish. They're the key things. You often hear people say, well, it's not so much about the winning of a thing, it's about the taking part. To one extent, yeah, that's true, but it's definitely about how we finish. We've got to finish the race. It's not about how we begin. It doesn't matter how we begin. Everybody's begun the race. The moment we gave our hearts to the Lord, we've begun our race. What's important is how we run and conduct ourselves and how we finish the race. It is important how we finish. You know, it takes a lot of determination to run. I remember reading somewhere a little bit about the great athlete, Roger Bannister. Now, he was the man that was first credited. I believe there was somebody before him, but it was never recorded or never logged in the record books. But he was the first one actually recorded and logged in the record books to break the 4-minute mile. And part of his interview that I read somewhere some years ago afterwards, he was talking about the determination to get to the finish line. He wasn't concerned so much, although that was part of how people were coming up behind him. He had his eyes fixed on winning the race. He had his eyes fixed on crossing that line. And it takes a lot of determination to run the race. There, some races, you'll find there are a lot of hurdles that have got to be overcome. A lot of obstacles. And we certainly have those in our Christian walk, in this race of faith, which is why we're encouraged here to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with endurance. We've got to lay aside, we've got to overcome the obstacles, everything that's going to hold us back, everything that's going to keep us from running effectively. Now for some, those hurdles may be, they're not necessarily wrong things. Sin is wrong. This tells us in the Bible, it says to lay aside every weight and the sin. Now, sin is wrong, but the weights are not necessarily wrong things. Remember, what does Paul said in one scripture? He says, look, he says, all things are lawful, but not all things are good. And it might be okay to things like television. It's not wrong to watch television, but there might be an occasion where we need to put that aside for a time to run our race. To get in, you know, athletes have to train. They can't give themselves to all the things that they'd like to do and eat all the wrong types of food. They've got to prepare their bodies to run. So they've got to practice, they've got to train. And there's certain things in our lives that perhaps we do, which, I say, they're not sins, it's not wrong for us to do them, but there might be times where we need to lay them down for a little while so we can run our race. And you'll know the sort of things that you do and that take up a lot of time, and perhaps time where you could spend praying, or you could spend listening to God and reading His Word, or you know, you could spend it witnessing or coming to church. But we put so many other things. And not, these things aren't always wrong, but sometimes they're like weights. They hold us back, and we need to get rid of some of them so we can run. I told you last year that God dealt with me on a certain thing that, not that I was doing, but it was taking up a lot of time. And my time, which should have been spent doing other things, you know, perhaps praying and reading. And God had to deal with me to lay that aside, to put it aside so that I could run my race and, you know, be effective in what He called me to do. So that's the hurdle. Then it takes endurance. You know, this is a marathon. You've got to pace yourself. You've got to go the distance. If you quit, you don't win. If you drop out, you don't win. You know, if you give up, you don't get the prize. And we've got to run to get the prize. We've got to run to win this race. And then it takes a fighting spirit to run this race of faith. Now, we've got to be determined. We've got to overcome the obstacles. We've got to endure the race. We've got to last the distance. But we've got to have that fighting spirit that says we're going to win. You know, I think I said this at the beginning of the summer when the England team were playing in the World Cup. There was something on the TV. I heard some of them talking, and they weren't talking like winners. And it showed in the games they played. You've got to have that fighting spirit if you're going to win the race. If you're going to win the match, you're going to win that... those games, you've got to talk like a fighter. What is Muhammad Ali? He was the best. That's what he said. He claimed, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, wasn't it? I'm the greatest. And he was. You know, that fighting spirit took him to the top. You know, that's how we have to be in the things of God. We've got to have that fighting spirit that we are going to win. You know, God is on our side. We cannot lose. This race of faith. So all these that are cheering us on, they're spurring us on, they're cheering us, tell us to come on, we can do it. You know, we've got to have that same spirit, that fighting spirit, saying, yes, we can do it. You know, we can win. You know, that's what Paul writes in to Timothy, this young pastor. He says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, he says, look, he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. You know, I've run my race, I fought the fight, I've kept the faith. And then he says, finally there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. You know, these witnesses cheering us on, telling us we can do it. But we've got to have that same attitude that Paul had. And there's one other scripture I want to read to close with tonight, and it's found in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. You know, this is a fighter talking. Not a physical fighter, but this is someone he knows what it is in the race of faith. And this is fighting talk from the apostle. And he says this in Philippians 3, this is verses 12, 13 and 14. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. He says, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to have arrived. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In order to be a winner in this race of faith, we've got to press forward. You've got to press into what God's called you to do. Not to be preoccupied with what God has called others to do. You've got to run your own race. And we've all got to do that. You know, if we start getting preoccupied with what else is going on, it becomes a weight. And we've got to take it off. You know, you see runners don't run in their suit jacket and trousers. You know, they run in shorts and a vest. You know, they strip right down to the bare necessities so that they're not carrying that extra baggage, that extra weight. You know, once we start getting ourselves preoccupied with what others are doing, it's like putting on a coat and putting on something else, or putting on a rucksack. It starts to become heavy to run and get sluggish. And before we know, we get so far behind that then we perhaps we drop out of the race. But we've got to press on. And we've got to press forward to be a winner. We've got to press into what God has called us to do. We mustn't drift, float, or go with the flow. We press forward in faith. What's he say here? Stretching forward, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And what's ahead? It's the winning line. That's what he was pressing for. He's pressing for the goal. That's what Paul uses, that term. He says, I press toward the goal. I press towards the prize. I'm pressing towards the finishing line. I'm running my race, determined, fixing my eyes. We'll get onto this probably next week. Fixing my eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So let's be encouraged tonight to run our race. There's a few other things we need to look at, but not tonight. You know, we're involved in this race. Yes. The others need us to run. They need us to run well. They need us to finish good so that they get the prize. So let's do what the scripture says. Let's keep our eyes focused. Focused on Jesus. Focused on our own race. And let's run it to the best of our ability. Amen. Amen.